RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Have you heard of the Wim Hof method? You're going to find out about it in just a moment, because joining us is Laura Warren, who has been in health and wellness for around 18 years. She's a registered clinical nutritionist, personal trainer, level 2 certified Wim Hof method instructor. There's Wim Hof, oxygen advantage instructor, XPT life coach, and breathless expeditions instructor. She's passionate, obviously, about sharing simple but empowering daily habits that support optimal health and well-being through experience-based learning and heartfelt connection. That's a nice bit. And I want to welcome Laura to RCR. Laura, you're beaming in from Queenstown.
I am. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, I'll admit it, never heard of Wim Hof, what it is, who it is. What's Wim Hof?
Okay, so Wim Hof is also known as the Iceman. He's a guy from Holland. He was really known as an extreme athlete, particularly noted for his ability to withstand extremely low temperatures.
Oh, okay.
So he's gone on, and, you know, he is 65 now, but he has set 26 world records over the course of his life, all around doing things that we would kind of consider superhuman.
Is he any kind of superhuman, though, Laura? Or is there something strong? Because some people are out of the box, right? I mean, no matter what we would hope for, you know, when we're sort of given our design, there's always someone better. Is he like a normal bloke, essentially?
He is well and truly normal. They've actually, because when you set 26 world records for doing things like climbing Kilimanjaro in world record time, or sitting in a bucket of ice for an hour and 53 minutes, or running a marathon barefoot with no food or water in the desert, you're kind of questioned. And for a long time, people kind of considered him a circus act. But I think Wim Hof is certainly somebody who is an empowering person to be around, because he sees the potential in things, and he is also very open to giving things a go.
Right.
His world records really led scientists to study him, because they did think that he may have had different genetics from the average person. And it was shown within a couple of pretty big studies, particularly around injecting him with endotoxin, that a person actually can influence their autonomic nervous system and their immune system at will. And this was shown not just with Wim Hof, but also when he trained people just for 4 days, that they got very similar results to him.
Okay.
Yeah. Laboratory. And also just how much the mindset can really influence how a person experiences cold temperatures.
So that working, so basically your mind, your thoughts can directly control mechanisms, physical mechanisms within your body for a desired result, which would involve a whole lot of different parts working at the same time. Without what, kind of thinking too hard, sort of in a natural way? How does it work?
Yeah, so I often use the analogy, you know, prepping people up to go into cold temperatures, right? If we think of a zebra, you know, group all eating their grass on the plain, and then when one's ears pop up and then the lion comes out and they're all off running really, really, really fast. On a physiological level, they're doing exactly the same thing, just running really, really fast.
Yeah.
Psychologically, yeah. Obviously. Some very different things are going on for both of those animals. And when we strip it really back, I think it's one wants to be in that situation and one does not. And so I often will say to people, you know, after hearing that, are you going to stand in front of the cold water and are you going to be a zebra? As in, is this experience happening to you? Or are you the lion choosing to stand there and saying, hey, I'm partaking, I want to be involved, I'm trusting my body, I can recognize that when I choose to engage actively with something, that it can really change the whole sensation and how you choose and you'll change your perception to deal with those circumstances, which, of course, this causes cross-adaption in today-to-day, right? When we embrace something that's uncomfortable, if you're choosing to partake in the process, you're going to get a better result. Whereas if, you know, just getting a ice bucket chucked at you, it's probably more like a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
So we can change and shift all sorts of different things in life just through how we choose to view it.
And the way you react to something, to put it in a very simple way, can that also, that also then has an effect on the other thing too, right?
Oh, absolutely. And like when we're using things like the breath work or the cold immersion, you're certainly, what you're doing is you are playing around with the nervous system, right? Your breath really is the control into your autonomic nervous system, and the cold immersion certainly stimulates your sympathetic nervous system. So this is kind of that fright or flight.
Yeah.
In some cases, freeze response for people. It's designed to get you into an active state to prepare you to get away from danger. And so if we perceive that as a, you know, a really fearful situation, the whole cascade of hormones within the body doesn't necessarily work in our favor. Whereas when we can engage with this kind of situation as in a, I'm excited to be here, I'm excited to explore the potential of my body, it puts us into a frame of mind that enables us to deal with some of those uncertainties in terms of sensation.
Hmm. What is it about immersing oneself in really cold water? What's actually happening to you when you do that?
Okay, well, I think it's like if you could literally take the benefits of what a person gets on a physiological and psychological, benefit by doing that, it's, I think everybody would be lining up for that pill. So a big one is you are training your cardiovascular system.
Right.
So in New Zealand and probably most Western countries, heart disease is our number one killer. So I think we can recognize that us being in perfect kind of temperature-controlled environment all the time, and also just that gearing to always seeking comfort, it starts to mean that the body abides to the rule, you know, of what you don't use, you lose. And so your cardiovascular system really loves temperature changes because it causes vasodilation within the capillaries.
Also, like it's a workout. It's a workout.
It is like a workout. It's an internal workout. So we're constricting and then we're actually getting the body to naturally rewarm itself. So it's just connecting you into a system that we all naturally have. But when you don't use it, it just starts to dissipate, and then we have to rely on, you know, all the nice fashionable jackets and all that to rewarm us, heat pumps when it's too cold, air conditioners when it's too hot, because you're just giving away that part of yourself to an external regulator. The benefits of cold too is like most people, you know, are under some form of stress. You know, you don't meet many people that life is just super cruisy and coasting.
Well,
and
then it gets stressful because there's not enough stress and you wonder what's going to go wrong.
It's true. But with the stress, you know, like getting into like a really cold body of water or even just turning your shower really cold, this is gearing, you know, like you into life, really. It's a training ground for recognizing, hey, life isn't always just coasting and cruisy. You have to be adaptable and you have to learn to engage and activate when you need to, but you also need to know how to discharge that activation, or else we've turned into this tired but wired person who seeks stuff like caffeine to kick us into the day because we're too tired to naturally get in there ourselves. And then we're seeking stuff like sleeping pills and weed and alcohol to wind us out because we feel like we can't wind down ourselves. So it is a really good training ground in terms of those things. We also are releasing a full opioid and endocannabinoid response within the brain, which makes us feel really good. Our dopamine rises, and this is not the case for all stresses. Cold is quite unique in this response, and this can rise really significantly, and it creates like a really alert but focused full of energy feel, which I think when people start the practice, this is why they keep it going, because they feel so good.
Wow.
So those are a few key benefits.
Yeah, and I don't do that, but I do a bit of running, and I imagine there's a similar feeling when you know that you're not stranded because you're capable of going all that distance back. That's quite a good feeling. That brings you feel confident. You feel, you know, that you're not too vulnerable. You know, it's a good sort of mindset. Anyway, now breath.
Yes.
That's something that interests me because I've done a lot of talking over the years, and when I went in as a young cadet, we got breathing lessons for reading the news when they used to do that thing back in the early 80s, maybe not so much now. Yeah. And I remember having a music teacher too when I was a kid at secondary school who was just fanatical about breathing. We were in a choir, so we had to learn to breathe. But I've since realized now that you can go deeper with breathing, perhaps. It sort of takes you to a level under breathing, the physical act. What is it about breathing apart from, you know, putting oxygen in the blood and things like that?
Well, it's super interesting that you were taught that connection to the breath, because this is something that is hugely lacking. Like, most people are not recognizing how their breathing patterns are really influencing whether they have states of like brain fog or ongoing fatigue. How you breathe can influence whether you are going to feel good in yourself, have lesser chance of kind of anxiety tendencies. Whether you have the ability to, you know, do that kind of running practice without turning into it just being a, it's too much for my body.
Well, I think when it gets like, it's sort of almost just like walking at a particular pace, you're kind of getting in that zone. So I know what you mean when you say that.
Yeah. So the breath, really, it's recognizing, one, that the nose is the breathing apparatus. So the nose has been perfectly designed for us to actually optimally uptake oxygen. So people think that, oh, if the air is coming in through the nose or in through the mouth there, it should be no difference. But actually, it's hugely different in terms of the effect that that goes on to have on the lungs, to the alveoli, to whether the oxygen actually makes it to the cell, which is where it's needed to create the energy in the body. So the breath work in general, or breathing, there is a spectrum, right? We would talk about the right-hand side techniques are more about correcting underlying breathing dysfunction. This is really about getting a person to have a good relationship with carbon dioxide, because carbon dioxide is not just a waste product of breathing. It actually is a nerve soother, smooth muscle contractor, really indicative if a person is very sensitive to carbon dioxide buildup, that they're also going to be very have tendency towards anxiety, breathlessness, respiratory conditions. So we can really work with a person at that end of the scale. Is really about slowing down the breath, ensuring that 99% of the time you're breathing in and out through your nose. The breath is slow and low in the lungs. And you're not doing this like upper chest breathing, which a lot of people are. They're breathing a lot faster than they should.
Too shallow, is it?
Yeah, too shallow. Yep, the shallow lung, you end up with tight neck, yeah. Tight back. And it's just, most people don't even connect to them feeling like average because of this inadequate breath flow, really. As we're moving more along the scale to the left-hand side of the spectrum, this is really the work that's come from Stanislav Grof. So he was the guy in America who was really behind the holotropic breathwork movement. He was working with LSD, with these psychedelics, doing quite amazing things to really help people move through, whether it was traumatic experience or states of depression. And when that was made legal, he really gave his life work to creating and connecting in with this understanding how this flow of breath, when we think about the superventilation pattern of breathing far too fast for what we would be doing normally, it actually creates a state called transient hyperfrontality. And through doing that, the prefrontal cortex, which houses our logic, our reasoning, our sense of time, our inner critic, I mean, we all need a break from that sometimes. By doing this fast-paced breathing, which I've shown through MRI scans when a person is engaged in this pattern, that it actually shuts down partially the blood flow. It's not as much to the prefrontal cortex. It goes into the deeper parts of the brain, the limbic system, the brainstem. And this in turn really allows a person to either release emotion that has been suppressed down. I know through my experience with clinical nutrition, you know, people turn up and they want to get to the root cause of health issues. Now, it's not just because they have a nutrient deficiency that this disease state is in the body. Often it has been because they have never been able to express grief or move through states of anger or different things. And this literally becomes like lodged in the body. We say, you know, that the issues are in the tissues. And so this opens up, allows a person to move through sometimes experiences, circumstances that they've been through. They've carried this backpack really of stories around their worth, around what they deserve, and all of these things that have helped them survive maybe a time in childhood or, you know, previous years. It's not actually helping them live life to the full as whether it's a grown adult or after that experience. So the breath is extremely powerful. And connecting a person, it's like a connect the mind to the heart. It's really a bridge. It brings a person from that kind of being and knowing state. And it's really is, it's just such a beautiful way for a person to actually really connect back into their own innate wisdom and honor the intelligent design they are. We seek so much external validation and cues all the time from everybody else's ABCD list. We very rarely go inside. And so the breath is a very incredible way to do that.
Yeah. Wow. You reminded me, slightly off topic, but still relevant. Mike King, the mental health campaigner, who's just had 24 mil come through from New Zealand First, primarily for Gumboot Friday charity. He talks about the inner critic as the big problem for young people. This, you know, this high-speed inner critic that never stops, never relents. And I'm just thinking, you know, you're talking about breath and that sort of driving that inner critic to a point where it's, you know, it's getting way more of a go than anything else. There might be something in breath.
These tools, and I've certainly done work through different schools. I've worked at Taranaki Retreat, which is a suicide prevention center. We have done, you know, like all sorts of different, but it really, I think some people sometimes think, oh, it's too simple, or sometimes with children.
But it's not simple, you know, is it? If it's the body, it ain't simple. It's magnificent universe of symphony orchestras playing at once.
It is. But I think, you know, for the breath, you know, and a lot of the stuff that we are teaching now, you know, these are techniques that have been used for centuries, you know, it's not a new thing, but still there's people that would be like, oh, it's a bit woo-woo or it's a bit left of field,
works,
you know.
Whereas, if it works, right.
I'm like, embrace the woo-woo, just give it a go. And then,
the
I think there's over 20,000 studies now that they have actually done around the breath and its influence on anxiety. So this is not something that's just kind of slid them sideways in the last couple of years. It's really been something.
Well, like many things, actually, as it turns out.
Oh, 100%.
So we're talking about the Wim Hof method, if you've just dropped in with Laura Warren, and a few other things that keep coming up in our health hacks. Inflammation is always a problem. Is that cold soaking? I mean, I'm just thinking of, you know, things contract when it's really cold. Does that deal to inflammation, or how do you help that?
Yes, the breath work and the cold helps reduce inflammation in the body. So the breath work's been shown in that endotoxin study that they did on Wim Hof, and then also subsequently the people he trained. When you breathe in a superventilation pattern, which is a faster paced pattern than normal, you are actually stimulating adrenaline to be released in the body. Now, when adrenaline is released at will like that, it stimulates also interleukin 10, which is a messaging protein. This protein actually offsets cytokine 6 and cytokine 8, which are pro-inflammatory proteins. And so through that, that was really what was shown and how the inflammation was dampened within that endotoxin study. So I always say to people, you know, if you're thinking of doing the breath work, you know, if you feel like you're coming down with like an ill or a chill or any form of virus that's going around, actually do that. You know, fast-paced breathing, taking the breath hold, maybe doing another couple of rounds. And typically if you are coming down with something, you may feel really tired after doing that. I've experienced myself multiple times over the years of this practice. And then I typically would have a nap and then I wake up and I'm like, oh, that's passed. Yep. Just move through. It is a really big thing that, you know, you can go onto the website, you can read other testimonials, but a lot of the instructors, a lot of people who do practice the method do say that their sick days have reduced significantly. If they are feeling a little bit run down, they can get it on top of it a lot faster. So huge benefits there. I actually read a study recently, and they just were showing with businesses that employees who were just adding on 30 seconds of a cold shower at the end of their standard warm one, they were having like 25% reduction in their sick days. So I'm like, this is a Crikey. Huge thing for businesses. I'm like, you should be.
Compulsory cold showers.
Yeah.
Get a raise.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. What's the longest you've ever held your breath? Just curious.
Well, I do free diving as well.
I should have mentioned that.
Yeah. So I really enjoy the breath hold practice. And when I work with it, I've been up to like 5.5 minutes is kind of my longest.
Oh, man, ever. I can't imagine that.
Jeez. Yeah. It's practice, right? All of the stuff, you know, that's out there, it's just
that's so
doing
long.
A regular practice. It does seem like a long time, but Kate Winslet, she was like the girl in Avatar, and she did 3.5 weeks training with one of like a really amazing freediver instructor, and she held her breath for 7.5 minutes after 3.5 weeks of training. Like it's really, you know, we have this potential as human beings, but it is just sometimes practicing.
Well, that could be an essential survival skill. You know, wow, that's incredible. 5.5 minutes. Okay, so is there anything we've missed? I think you've addressed plasticity of the nervous system kind of in a way, but maybe there's something more to say about that before we've talked about benefits.
Yeah, well, I think like the big thing with the Wim Hof method is all components are geared around the concept of hormesis, right? You take something that you wouldn't typically do all the time, something that in fact would be almost, it would be dangerous for you if you did it for too long, but you're doing it deliberately and with intention. And when you do this, it creates this positive adaptation in the body. It's like going to the gym, right? If you tried to lift that, you know, 20 kilo weight all day, your arm would be absolutely shredded and, you know, it'd be no good to you. Whereas you do it for your 12 reps, for your 3 sets, and you all of a sudden start to develop this stronger muscle. And this is what's happening with the method as well. Going for the cold, it's like the cold is absolutely needing to be respected. Doing it for your, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, honoring your body in that process, the body starts to adapt and your stress response also starts to become more adaptable to help, you know, your life and day to day as well. But the breath work, there is this superventilation pattern that you begin with, which is really triggering your sympathetic nervous system. But then you're moving into a breath hold, which is crossing you back to parasympathetic. And then you'll swing back to sympathetic and then back to parasympathetic. And this is really just helping you learn how to activate the body when it's needed, but also discharge that activation, because it's when we get into that pattern of sympathetic drive all the time and we can't clock out that we end up not functioning so well. We end up in a burnout state and feeling, you know, like I'm no good to anyone.
Staying in trim is really what that sounds like between the two. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
For people who want to find out more, Laura, and want to ask questions, or are more and more people interested in finding other ways to improve their situation? I mean, this is a good one. This is one of them. But, you know, the medical machine, you know, has pills to settle you down and do this and effect that. Are you finding people are starting to move more away from the industrial medical complex in that way?
Well, it's surprising. There's a lot of doctors who come through the retreats and through the workshops. People are very open to it because I think, you know, people really do want empowering practices, simple things. You know, it really does come back to, you know, what are your daily habits? If you do a few things daily really well, that is really going to contribute to who you become in the long run, right? And this can be a good or a bad thing. Your daily habits are not serving you to be healthy and well. You can't expect to be healthy and well in 5 to 10 years. So I always say to people, you know, there's many different ways to kind of health, happiness and strength. And what works for me may not work for you, but it's about playing and being open to different ideas, trying the thing. And it's like, if you enjoy it, keep it going. But if it's not right for you or your body, you can actually choose another way.
Yeah.
It's just committing to that, finding the enjoyment in it. And through that commitment, that's when we get the results.
What's the website?
www.livewild.co.nz.
Live wild. I like it. What's the deepest you've been on a dive?
45 meters.
Ooh. So what's that in feet?
Oh, good question.
It's about three times, isn't it?
100 feet is 30 meters. So yeah, it must be, yeah, over 100 feet.
It's a long way down. Gee. Well, hey, it's been really interesting chatting with you, Laura Warren. Thanks for coming on RCR. Our listeners are writing down notes.
Thank you so much for having me. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.